If I just had enough money, if I just had enough stuff, if I just had enough control, if I just had enough power, if I just had enough people, if I just. How often do we find ourselves desiring something that really is not going to fulfill us? We think it does. We believe it will. And in and of itself, it may even be a very good thing. But so many things we desire cannot fulfill. We get three readings today that help us to understand what it means to be in relationship with God. We have probably heard the story of the prodigal son, I don't know, who knows how many times. But there's so much going on in this story. You can see why Jesus told this story in the circumstance in which he found himself. The Pharisees were grumbling and complaining because Jesus was spending his time with the wrong sort of people. He was not spending his time with the Pharisees who had been faithful. Even if we read charitably their following of the law, we have to marvel at the fact that they don't want their club to get too much bigger. They want the perfect. They want the sinless. Jesus tells this story because that's the older son's attitude. We don't get much of a sense of what the relationship between the father and the older son was like, but it seems to be a little bit mechanical. I did all of the work, but he didn't get to know his father. He didn't get to know how much his father loved. And the younger son finds himself in a pretty lousy circumstance, especially for a Jewish person in the time of Jesus. Things have gotten so bad, he is working in a Gentile farm, and even the bad things that he's feeding to the pigs look pretty darn good. He comes to his senses. We have to think on some level that the younger son really knew his father. He knew that his father was merciful and compassionate. Now, he wasn't going to take advantage of that. We see his plan, which seems like a pretty logical plan given his bad circumstance in life. I'll give away my title as son because, quite frankly, I wanted you to give away your title as father by giving me my inheritance while you were still alive. But there's a relationship here. And that's really what the readings are trying to get at for us. In the first reading, Moses is receiving the law of God. Now, the people have seen all kinds of miraculous and wonderful things. They have been delivered from Egypt by a God who loves them and cares for them. They have been fed by God. They have been given drink by God. They have been given a plan by God. They have been cared for by God. Now, there's a subtle thing going on here because they are not turning their back in a way on the God that led them out of Egypt. Their faith is so weak that they want an idol. That will be the God who led them out of Egypt, this thing they can make. See, when we have an idol, we think we're going to control the idol. If I just get this house, if I just get this car, if I just get this job, if I just get this relationship. But in fact, idols control us. See, because very quickly, the car we thought was going to answer all of our dreams becomes the car that, well, we don't really like. We need a new one. The house is never quite big enough, or it's too big. The job was perfect before we had it, but we discover it wasn't exactly what it appeared. And powerful relationships take a little bit of work. All those things we thought, we placed all of our hopes and dreams in those things, and not in God. Today's readings really ask us, challenge us, invite us to recognize the power of the relationship that God wants to have with you and me. That's what this is all about. And even if we are sinners, even if we are the worst of sinners, even if we are the outcast because of the ways in which we have lived our life, even if we have brought shame upon our reputation or our family, even if we find ourselves feeling so far removed from anything divine or holy, God still loves us. God still invites us back to a relationship. God still forgives us. The power of God's forgiveness is limitless. And so today, we can be the older son who gets frustrated, thinking we've done all of the good things that we should have done, and why don't we get credit for that? And I have to say, there's a little bit of the older son in me. His argument doesn't seem all that spurious to me. He was the one, after all, who was faithful, stayed by his father, worked. We can be the younger son, needing to come to our senses to know the power of the Father's love. We can be the people of Israel at the base of the mountain trying to put something in the place of God, even when they think it is God. Or we can be those people who recognize that in the midst of all of this, Jesus is the one who saves. Jesus is the one who invites us back. Jesus is the one who runs out to greet us when we return, because we were lost and now have been found.